Again, I can try and lay out first from a literary perspective what I think the issues are, and then try and move those into some degree of substance, and then look briefly at some of the Rishonim, and then focus on the Chorin's claims, and then finally on the Chavis Rebbeinu. Here's what are you? The three sections. All right, so the first section is the response to the question of Hesri Dami Mishnei Bisha. The second section is the dialogue on the first statement of Rabba, and the third section is the dialogue on the second statement of Rabba. Okay? Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Section A is the response to the question of Hesri Dami Mishnei Bisha. We'll call that section A. Section B is the first statement of Rabba through the end of the statement of Rabbi Yossi. And section C is the second statement of Rabba, followed by the rationale for it. Yes, Joe.
Are we assuming that Rabba wrote Rukhuna and Rabba are the same person?
I am assuming that Rabba Barakuna and Rabba are the same person. Yeah, and now I am assuming that.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Now, the literary question that we have to ask on the sugya as a whole is, do we view these as units and say that really the whole sugya is organized around the question, Heshi Dami Mishnei Bisha, and therefore we should interpret the statement of Rava in light of that dialogue, right? The term Mishnei Bisha in his statement should be parallel to the definition of the term Mishnei Bisha in the early section. That may be strengthened if you think that the Rabbah in that section is the same as the Rabbah in one of the sections, or maybe weakened, because it may just be that we're just pulling up an anthology of all statements by Rabbah on the subject of Mishnah Bisha. Second question we have to ask is whether we need to interpret the two statements of Rabbah in exactly parallel literary forms. Right, so that they have to, right, so that the Kol Milta Mitamra and the Lespa has to be referring to the same person for each case. Or are we okay saying that in one statement it shifts from the speaker to someone repeating it, and the second statement, or the other statement, it doesn't? Okay, those are literary sections at the outset. Question to answer about the sugya as a whole. Within the sugya, in the first section, we have to ask the question A, then we have to ask what changes between the initial definition of Mishnah Bisha and the alternative offered by Abaye? Why, at least according to Abaye, we've opened the question of whether the end is a machlokas between Abaye and Rava, or whether Abaye is simply interpreting Rava. Right? Standard literary form would say that there is a machlokas between Abaye and Rava, but let's leave a biased position out. Let's leave Rabba's position out for now, because so far as I can tell, Rabba's position per se has very little attraction with Halakha. And so we're interested in what changes so we can know what it is that a biased thinks is not much of Rabba, what he thinks he is. And the second issue, we have to figure out whether the response, and not Rabbi Yossi, clearly means I reject the premise of your question. When you say culture can put the Mishnah Bisha, the answer is no, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's not Lashon Hara at all because I hold like WOC. Or is it changing and saying, you know what, I said this. You're right, I could never have meant what you thought, because what you thought was talking about, right, what you thought was in fact, what you thought I meant, I would of course concede was work. It was both Kutzpah and Mishnah Bisha. And instead, what I meant was what WOC said. Okay, right, those are two different ways of understanding it. And then the third question, of course, you have to figure out what Chavra actually means and how it relates to anything. Okay, so let's pick up within the first unit. Right, what changes between the initial statement and the Ella of Abaye? So first I have to begin by asking a question. When Abaye says, Mike Ovid, Gilead Milted Almahu, right, so what is it about, right, so Abaye says that can't possibly be Lashon Hara because it is merely a Gilui Milta. So now, what is Abaye saying conceptually? Right, why can a Gilui Milta not be Lashon Hara? That's what Lashon Hara is. And Lashon Hara is revealing information. Yes, sir.
Did you see with a specific type of information that this particular
type of information is called? That's a specific type of information. Okay, so if we take that, it has to be a type of information, but then a bias alternative has to be repressed, has to be offering a different type of information. Right. So what I get there is that the claim I was making is that there has to be a substantive difference between the information that we reveal in what we'll call the Havamina and the information revealed in the Maskana. I have to figure out what in the statement, what in the alternative, what new information is being revealed. Let me show you. This is where we'll call it Rav's fault, right? Is that that Lashon Hara has to involve delivery of certain kinds of information, other kinds of information simply can't be Lashon Hara. And the alternative fault would be that all information can either be Lashon Hara or not, depending on the event. Right, those are two different things, because of course kind of compromise the little thing that some information is never Lashon Hara, some information is always Lashon Hara, and then there's intermediate category of information which depends on the intent of the speaker. And to some degree that depends on what we mean by the question Heichi Dami Lishna Bisha. So we should just again point out later earlier, when you ask the question Heichi Dami, does that mean you're asking for a standard case or for a limited case? You know any of that? It's written out as a bag of civil studies this morning. Okay. If you understand this is going to be in a limit case? Okay, are you? Okay, good. Okay, so it seems to be clear that this is a limit case. Right? So we say anything under this to be said, what we're asking for is what's an example of something that could, right, that could be the turnaround. Could be Lashon Hara, even though you wouldn't think it was. As opposed to the standard, right? The obvious standard of Lashon Hara is so-and-so is a murderer, right? That seems pretty clearly Lashon Hara. Maybe. On the other hand, it may be that the issue that has here is how can you have true information that is nonetheless Lashon Hara? And that becomes, and then it becomes interesting if this is really the only case they can think of. Okay, they have to address that question also, like, to what degree, like, in what way are Rava and then Abaye trying to answer the question, what is Lashon Hara? Are they trying to give you a fundamental definition, or are they trying to come up with the extreme case? So we want to ask for what's Kibbutz Av Ha'Em, right? And it tells you the Kibbutz Av Ha'Em is letting your parents bring a person into the ocean, right? That doesn't mean that that's the only example Kibbutz Av Ha'Em they can think of. It means that that's how far Kibbutz Av Ha'Em has to go. But then there's not anything else. Right? Right. There's not anything else. Right? Anything else, you would expect to be a standard case, and it looks like a limit case. It's a Kibbutz Av Ha'Em, right? It should be seen like what kind of case those help, but it will definitely have to count the answer to the issue.
So this
case is teaching us, for example, that Lashon Hara is all about intent. Yes, Lashon Hara.
So why do you think it's a limit case? Why isn't it a case?
So I think that Rava's case, there was a fire in someone's house, is hard to see as a standard case.
What?
So Lashon Hara has revealing any information about anybody? His house is yellow. That could be something derogatory for the way. So if you assume that really Abaye interprets Rava correctly, there's really only one case offered in the Gemara. Right, then I think it's that correct. And so the example given is any information off in a derogatory way, that's fine. If it's Rava's case, if we take Rava's case as serious, but just giving private information out, is Lashon Hara. See, any information about someone who talks to Lashon Hara, that pushes me. I find it hard to imagine that's the only case of Lashon Hara, but it may again be my own bias, but I don't think Gilead Soda is going to be the only issue. Maybe it really is just Gilead Soda. What goes on is what I just tell you. Lashon Hara means revealing anything to anybody about anybody else that is in public. Maybe. I can't prove that, by the way. And I think the WA does sound like it's asking for a standard case. Okay, right, so those are the parameters within which we function, right? So you have Rav on the one hand, not Isha on the other, and again, you can try and argue that each of those, that there are types of Lashon Hara for which each is true, and there is an intermediate category which depends entirely on intent. All of those will lead to different conceptual definitions of Lashon Hara. Okay, then we get to Amarava. So most of the time of Amarava, let's Yishum Lishnei Bisha. To which the response is obviously, Lishnei responds immediately. So, yes, how do you understand? What's the response to Kolshi King Chutz Lishnei Bisha? You're right. That would be Chutz Lishnei and something else, or so what if it's Chutz Lishnei?
Understood the second.
So what if it's Chutz Lishnei? Okay. So we have a fundamental machlokes about what Lashon Hara is then.
Right.
Right. According to Baye.
So what if it's chutzpah, it's not Lashon
Hara. Right. Yeah. According to Baye, right. So now, Baye thinks this is a Baye. So Baye, holding a guilty means that Lashon Hara means saying something that you wouldn't say to the person's face. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the whole issue of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara means, according to Abaye, means saying something that you wouldn't say to the, according to Rabbah, not according to Abaye, right, sorry. According to Rabbah, Lashon Hara means saying something you wouldn't say to the person's face. And Abaye says, no, Lashon Hara is saying something that disrespects the person, which is even worse to be saying to their face. Rava says, it's not Lashon Hara because you're saying it to his face, but Rava says that Lashon Hara, yeah, I had it back to him first time. Okay, now we have to figure out, whether a Abaye's solution survives in that case, or whether we just pass him like Rava and Abaye's, right, and Abaye's position goes away. In which case, we end up saying the purpose of the statement is very simply to say that the purpose of Hilchos Lashon Hara is to discourage talking behind people's backs. But you never violate Lashon Hara when you say it to the person, and then reveal to the extent that it's not only when you say it to the person, but even when you say it without concern as to whether the person would hear it. Yeah.
I mean, that's already extending, that may be true.
Right.
Or that's going farther than I think Rava goes in the first statement.
It is.
And it's assuming that the second statement is also the Rabiyoki. Right? That's being taught, right?
No, I'm just understanding Rabiyoki himself. I understand Rabiyoki himself is not that way.
All Rabiyoki himself is not really saying, telling us anything about Lashon Hara, and so Rava is.
Good. How do you understand Rava's citation of Rabiyoki?
So, what Rava's saying is, I know it's okay to say stuff to the person who said it, because Rabbi Yossi says, "You might want to mark your Rabbi Yossi." So long as I never said anything that I was concerned about the person hearing.
Right.
Right. It means that if I say it, it means that so long as I'm not concerned that the person hears it, I'm okay.
Good.
And if I say it, but I don't know that.
You don't know that Rava has to endorse her BOC.
Entirely, he's just saying, I have a basis for my claim that if I say it to him, it's okay, because BOC can say even more than that, BOC is a top.
Okay, I understand, although I would tend to think that he would go that far, but I agree that, you know, that the argument structure works that way. Yes, sir.
I just have issues with this reading, because basically what this means is, if you're just really brazen and you don't care what people think, that means you have a complete passion to tell them off your heart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean, again, Lashon Hara may not be the only answer. There's still an answer going on to Varin.
Okay.
Alright, so it may be for him.
Lashon Hara is basically only an answer for people who are likely to test it. And worried that you know, other people finding out will harm their reputation, their conflict, or whatever.
Or they're cowards.
Yeah.
Or it may be a way of discouraging lies. That we think that people don't have a good sense of why do people see. And it may be that we have no interest in discouraging the spread of true information about people, positive or negative. We just have an interest in discouraging lies. What we discourage lies is by saying that you're not allowed to say anything negative aside from people's faith, but you have to say to their face, and then they can challenge you to do or not if they please.
But then, as a liar, it's just people who lie easily, then just...
So we figure that liars will, they may argue that, look, what will happen if someone lies to your face? You'll challenge them. And if they're inveterate liars, people will discover that they're liars. The best way to bring liars, the best way to expose liars is to force them to say their lies in the context where someone can deny it. That's a reasonable social policy position. It may not be true, but it's a reasonable position that people can hold. That's the best way. Yeah, the best way to prevent lies is just prevent private information and get it all out. Put it like you have a universal blog and everyone has to publish all the negative stuff to other people on blogs. And then, people get to decide for themselves. And there's denial, then everyone gets to decide for themselves what's true or not. Okay. And then, we have Rav Arkuna and Chavrus the Chavra, which we already met. Okay, now we look at Rashi. Okay, so Rashi says, in terms of the first issue, he says, Nur Beit Fanya is mashma that he's rich and is always a house, but Abaye challenges him, says, Gilead Milta Balmer, who, why? Ha'il ve'ina umrat lo shenara, el megala sanshin rakshin or l'chuba Beit Fanya. Right, so Rashi goes out of his way, I think, Rashi goes out of his way to tell you that there is no substantive difference between the statements, that everyone understands immediately that Nura Befanya means that he's rich until they're always rich, until they're always cooking. And the only difference is that in the second statement you are implying a criticism of their conspicuous consumption. Right? In the second statement, you're saying, making a sarcastic comment, right? Where would there be a fire in the cell that is always cooking? In the first statement, you say, well, where would there be a fire? Well, there, because they're always cooking. The information is exactly the same. Now, the only difference, right, the easiest way of reading Rashi, again, I'm not binding you to this, but I think the easiest way of reading Rashi is that Rashi goes out of his way to tell you that the only difference between Lashon Hara and not Lashon Hara in the case in the Gemara is whether you intend to say it to make the other person think less of the subject or not. Yeah. It's purely intent. It's purely right. Yeah, Ishai told. Yeah.
Is it evidence to connect the Gemara chosen something which is obvious to people outside the house anyway?
Because we can see the smoke?
And smell it, yeah.
And smell it?
Smoke. And at night. So maybe what healing up the means is the things that healing up that have been meaning all along, that it's already public.
And so the response here is...
It happens to be something you haven't been on electricity, so there's no smoke coming out of the chimney. Like, well, you're just...
So you're saying the Hikin of the Bisha is limited to how can you have Lashon Hara about information that's already public?
Well, or traditionally
it
says
you're already
finding
them
even information that's public.
And Abaye says, how can that be? And Abaye says, so I agree it can be public if you put a sarcastic spin on it.
Yes.
Are
you
expecting
the finish?
Right. So the first thing is, that a thief can be Lashon Hara is a fish. Right, right. Why is Lashon Hara to say I don't think well? Is Lashon Hara to say I don't think well of that person? And here's why. Right, and you may think personally, well, I don't think well of that person because he believes that the world is only 6,000 years old. Whereas somebody else may take that information and say, wow, he believes the world is 6,000 years old. I like people who are true to principle and stick to Torah despite the efforts of godless atheist scientists. Right, so the same is right, so I don't know that it's not right, if I speak right, if I speak to an audience that thinks that's good information about them, I think it's bad, is that I tell them something they'll be happy to hear, but I say it sarcastically, I say no, I don't know. I think it's okay to say Lashon Hara relates to opinions about grant right, which don't assume any facts, not evidence.
Well, isn't that ultimately the difference between sarcasm and
fiction? Right, so I don't know, is sarcasm Lashon Hara as such?
I don't know.
It seems that Rashi is saying that. It does seem that Rashi is saying that. You're adding the fact about public. I don't know enough about sociology to know whether everybody knows. I mean, you know it. So it sounds like, you know, what you're saying is you're passing on the village lore to the beggar who's passing through town.
You might be able to hide it if you have a candle or a lamp. Well, we don't sound like we're talking about a cooking fire. A cooking fire is not hide it.
Okay, yeah.
It's like saying it's raining in Florida when I'm in Boston. It's not information I may have from walking down the street, but it's easily available information for anyone who wants to find it out. Right? Is that the...
So that's interesting. So why is it... Okay. And Rob, anything Rob thought of the question anyway, if you think about it, real happening. Yes, Donna.
Is it possible that this is just a euphemism?
For?
If the description.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that the fire has to always be going, but it's the type of house that is likely to have a fire going, meaning that that they often have fires going. I don't think it needs to be like an actual, that there is a fire late. You might be able to take it out of the realm of it being a true statement to it being a generally true statement.
Okay.
Like a descriptor on... Because, well, so what happens next is it becomes a description and it's no longer just an opinion.
I actually still think, though, that the information is the same. And I actually still think that there's a little bit by also means there's always a fire in the house. Not that there's a fire now, but that there's generally a fire.
Right.
Okay, so it's all true. But the thing is, I still understand what the question I ask. If it's true, and everyone knows it, all I'm doing is saying the same information sarcastically. Right. Who's the smartest guy in the class? So-and-so, he's a genius. Right. Okay. Now, there's one other possibility in Rashi, which is that Rabba is talking about a response to a question when information is relevant, and Chabaya is talking about spontaneously offered information, which doesn't weigh when the person didn't ask information. Like Rashi says on the first one is, Elam Megalavo Tanshin Rashin Or Lechud Beitoni. Somebody asks you, where can I find it? You know, you say, so-and-so has a fire on, as opposed to continuing to stay on a street corner. And imagining, like,
Light a fire.
Yeah, okay. So whenever a song has a practical purpose, when a song has a practical purpose and needs the information, then you can come and, Hey. Oh, hi. I think we're going to break in like 15 minutes. You're welcome to come if you want to come listen, or... Right, you can do this first. Anyway, you'll break for lunch in 15 minutes. It's only 15 minutes. Okay? Welcome. So it could be the difference is whether you're spontaneous, whether your destination being ignition trade on three corners in spirit, or whether you're giving direction. I think it's possible in Rashi. He tells you that one side is El Megala of Botanch and Rakshin. He doesn't tell you the other side is not that. Okay. So second frame, the Miskomis, there is Amr Da'afi Mara, left on Mishun Lishna Bishra. So Rashi says, Shah Miragel, Amrav Yisneha Amiravav. So why does Rashi use the word Miragel here? Yeah, what do you think? Anybody have an idea? Yes, Alicia.
I mean, it's obviously, you know, at least bring, you know, allusion to, you know, Miragel, I guess, there's this kind of tail-bearing sense of it. You know, you're saying something which, again, is relatively true. Right, you know, they weren't necessarily, they weren't making a lot. So I knew it as being originally true to the, you know, the person, the subject of the...
Okay, right. So let's try it. There's a literary and a substantive point here. The literary point Rashi is making is that we are talking about the original speaker and not about the repeater. Right? No, what do you think Miragel means the repeater?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. So back to the ambiguity also. I have to figure out the... I think it's also clear that Miragel is not a... Miragel is not a positive term.
Sure, that wasn't enough to
tomorrow
the information
that
someone
finds
out.
You think it's a spy? You think it's a spy? I don't think that Meregion means that. I don't think you can find it near that in the literature. But that could be demonstrated also. No. Okay. Yes, John.
Is it perhaps trying to get rid of a potential Hamamuna that means Amra means to, that becomes the Mishra that somehow more passive and therefore is something that was said in front of the person as opposed to you actually saying it yourself?
That's true literally, right? Rashi put this for, there's a missing antecedent, right? The Mishra is said by whom?
But you might have thought that because it's been found that it wouldn't have been the original speaker of a wonderful estimate.
Could be. The problem is that it's not listening at all. Why does he use negative terminology for a statement that leads to, or if it leads to, less of the Shemush Nebisha?
Yeah, because he thought it's not. But, you know, it's, are you saying that the person is in charge of
Lashnar? It's still a Kutzpah. Okay, let's take a look at the Rashi. Dimitama Dafe Spatulas, right, and that's the month of each other literally. Right, so Dimitama Dafe Mora is Shemiragilam Rabbit to Hell Nerulav, and Dimitama Dafe Spatula is Shabdalim Amrua Bitnegimel. So what's the relationship between the Miragilam and the Dalim?
Well,
and then he says, Hamigalelata, Enoa Shemirah. So what's the Bisham Bisham Bisham, the second statement refers to not the original speaker, but the repeater. Okay, so right, how do you understand that flow? The second statement means anything that the Be'alim said before three, somebody else, right, then somebody, either one of the three or somebody else standing by, I guess, that doesn't make sense, you know, let's say, so if one of those three then reveals it to somebody else, it's not Lashon Hara, because the person knew that it was going to get out. Right, so there's a gap, but in the second statement, Rashi reads that anything which is said by X in front of three is not Lashon Hara for those three to repeat it. So the first statement which says anything which is said by X in front of the Mar is not Lashon Hara, is not Lashon Hara for whom?
For the first person
who said. Well, that's why we have the thing like a Torah with him. Right, the first statement is but not Lashon Hara for the speaker before the Mara. And in the second case, it's not Lashon Hara for the people who heard that person speak it. So you have to decide if you're willing to live with that lack of literary garlandism.
Well, if you change the gears, then you can...
Well, change the gears, that's a better word. But Rashi has our gears, though. And just in Rashi. Okay, yes, David.
Well, I think the
literary garlandism
is already there. You can't get rid of it. Because in one case, the following person is wrong, and the other case, the following person being wrong, too.
Is that in Russia, or are you talking in the Lord?
Well, the speaking of in Russia, the following talks to the Lord.
Okay, so you can argue that we can deal with it because one of the characters is on stage in the first case, and not, right, and not in the second, so...
No, it's not in both cases. Rashi thinks that the Abbe Father case is one to one of the people whose secrets are being shared are the ones talking to the three people. But the Abbe Mara case is where you come back and tell somebody their own secret that you heard something.
Okay, so you want to claim, right? You want to claim that Kol Milsa Dimitama Abbe Father means anything that somebody told you about themselves in front of three?
There's no value in them.
Okay, good. Okay, right. So Deb is arguing that Miragel and Bialim are deliberately opposed. Right? And right, there's a difference. Miragel is a person talking about someone else, and a Baal is someone talking about themselves. And all the second statement means is anything that somebody told you about themselves in public, you can tell anyone else also. The second statement just means anything that somebody tells you about themselves in public, you can tell anybody else. It tells you nothing. It tells you nothing about lashon hara in the about lashon hara about rather repeating information about other people to call. Right, it's just it frames this as, again, if we put it in the realm of understanding that lashon hara means nothing but revealing secrets, so just saying that anything that somebody voluntarily makes public about themselves is not a secret.
And you read it that way.
Likewise, telling somebody something about themselves
is not a secret. So it's called, so telling Nils that, well, telling somebody something about themselves is revealing a secret about the person who told you.
Well, I mean, you can't say what?
Okay, right, so the way, let's go to the last line is, anything which is said by somebody about themselves in front of three people, and it's not lashon hara to tell anybody else.
Which one?
I don't... Paul Nielsen in the Kama Gafi Tosa. Anything which is said by people about themselves in front of three people.
Okay.
And I thought Bishum Mishna Bisha, it's not lashon hara to tell anybody else. Maybe. Maybe, yes, Bishum.
And I think for evidence this position, where you know, what you see, the idea is something about there's no pronouns there, it's just a general, that the guy that, you know, the guy knows that this will spread, they're going to public knowledge, but it's not a directed, there's no one that this decision is being directed to, the subject of that information will find out. Right, there's no talk about, there's only about the person talking in the game. That's
not okay.
Fit with, right, you know, again, the parallelism with the Kabbalah talk.
Well, right,
Baal is the possessor of, you know, the subject of the information.
Well, let's begin, right? Okay, so the word, we should say the word in the previous Rashi, we do use the word Dalim, right? That strengthens the Dalim reading a great deal. And the Dalim has to be the people, right? Has to be the people about whom the information is spread. So if we take that, then according to Rashi, the first statement is, anything that I say about someone in front of them is not lashon hara for whom?
For the
person saying it. Which one did you say?
For
either
of you,
not
two people present. One of them is the possessor of the secret, the other person is the one talking.
That
would be, you know,
assuming that kind of thing. Well, it could be other people present. Right, when I think with Dante Mara, I mean Dante Mara exclusively? Yeah. Or so long as, you know, right, where Yossi says, I never said anything, looked around, that doesn't really mean there are other people there. It's not that he would mutter things to himself in his bedroom. Right, and not worry about it, right?
He doesn't even know if the Dalim are there.
He doesn't, right? But presumably someone else is there, right? And he's not talking to himself, right? So I assume someone else in the Dalim Atmara means that you can say that anything which is said in front of the subject of the information, no matter how many people are present. Okay, right? So if you publish a newspaper, so long as the subject has a subscription.
But maybe that's because he has the opportunity to talk to you.
Because they have to stop
you.
He's coming
on the couch and no,
no talk about that.
Then
it's moving. Ah, so you want to say anything? Well, how does that relate to chutzpah then? How can it be chutzpah? The default should be in a secret. If he jumps up and down and says no, then of course you can't say it. So if you look at it, I never looked around to see if somebody was there, and I never looked around to see if the person didn't want me to say it. They would never say anything the person wouldn't want me to say.
Uh-huh.
Now, Rashi, think of me?
Well, because,
at
least in his second.
Second, like, it's very hard. I wouldn't admit when they challenge me.
No, it is to be committed to, you know, the truth out of that statement.
Yeah. Doesn't it sound like he's, he wouldn't defend it, say it, but, right? It has no relevance to this, right? It was just, saying, I never denied saying anything, it's, right? That he's saying, well, still up in Hara. I shouldn't have said it, so I think that's a hard reading, to put at least in Rashi. So let's go back, right? So Rashi says, anything that I say, so long as the person is present, is that right? It's not lashon hara for, if you say for me, that, right, if you say for me, then it, right, then there's a lack of parallelism because the second statement is not lashon hara for the listeners. Right? If you say it for everybody, you have to figure out why. Right, I mentioned it in front of the person who was about, so then I'll ask you to repeat it to lots of other people. Yes,
I think there's like two separate state here. There's the permission to say something and the permission to repeat.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, you have the permission to say Sahimara, right?
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, but it does not, you know, you don't have the permission to repeat.
Mm-hmm.
But, that if you, you know, if the subject, right, says something about themselves, then the listeners, right, get to something from themselves. They have permission to talk to you. You have permission to talk to yourself. Right? Not much talking to anything about yourself.
Yes, I'm a focus,
but okay. Right? Anything, you get the permission. Right? So then, right, it's the permission to appear. So, you know, it's...
Okay, so you're happy with the lack of parallelism.
Literary perpendicular.
Right, you're happy with that. And so you know the states have the same form, right? That's just so you know some either not write it that way, but actually they don't write it. They're different subjects. So never the point is correct, right? That's the second one. The speaker has to be different than the second one, so why can't the let the visual should be different?
I mean
that's
the
thought okay. Michael, what do you want to say? Okay. Sure.
Okay, so you mentioned two statements. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning of our talk about Rashi, when he said that there's no difference between the two statements, were you referring to the fact that the judge was saying the second line, Ikemara based Lanya versus in line four where it says, Okay, but then when you were talking about the difference between, if it's said before three people, by the speaker or by the listeners,
yeah.
That's in reference to line five versus line nine.
Yeah. Exactly. Good. Thank you for clarifying. Okay. Now, the issue that we haven't talked about yet, but which we need to think about, is the extent to which any of these definitions are plausible readings of the same line of Rav Baruch Huna as it's used in Levavasha. Right. So in Levavasha, Rav Baruch Huna is used to talk. Right. Is used to talk about Machah, in which the subject of the Lashon Hara is very much not present, that's the whole point. Alright, so for Rashi to claim here, Kol Milsim is Amra, means anything said by the subject of Lashon Hara, right, that will narrow, if you want the Rabashan Arachim to be parallel, it will narrow your Rabashan Arachim, then it narrows them. You're going to think it narrows them at all.
No,
any ball being present, though.
He is denying the transaction that would have taken place between himself and somebody else.
Yes, I assume that, for example, when you say Shavalim or Rochim say Gimel, so let's say if I am two of my friends did something really wrong 20 years ago, the fact that if I get up and say I and three of my friends did something really wrong 20 years ago, that doesn't let everybody repeat it about the three of my friends, if the only issue is that I revealed that I don't consider it a secret. Right? If the point is that the subject of Lashon Hara revealed it, right, but I don't see how including my confession in the group is not there spreading it to everybody else.
But I'm not sure that's the same thing, because in this case, where even with that thought, you're at the same time both involved, like both done, but at the same time you're opposed to with the group. You're all followed on the information, but it's not like you're separated within the group in a way. Here, you're about the information, but you can say something about the other guy because it's not much.
And you don't even have to say it.
You might feel
they never told it. That's my
Well, that's
right.
No, right?
No, the more that he
believes
it, doesn't say
it might feel that I never told it. That's all right. Not if you will argue whether you have to call the piece explicitly or not. I think even though you've got lots of ways to play with it. You can play with it by saying that in terms of Makkah, the only issue is whether I can reveal, the only secret is that I call it a peace, because the Islamic land is not public. Right? And other than that, I'm just revealing stuff about myself, right? I claim I still own that land. So, right? The only issue is whether if you're revealing that so-and-so calls it a peace, you can just claim that Dalad Arasuna is only blood of a bastard by analogy to prove that three people are considered public. And that's, right? But I think it forces you to make choices. But if you think Rav Baruch Huna and Rav is only brought by analogy, there's no issue. But if you want to take the position that Makot is Lashon Hara, and that Rav Baruch Huna teaches me that Makot, right, that therefore, if I'm looking from Gimel, it's Lashon Hara, I think that's a very hard position to take. Okay, I want to finish in 2 minutes. The last thing I want to do quickly is to point out what the self-evident issue is into the figure. Right? The self-evident is the one that says that, you know what, these dialogues don't make sense if we take them as generally about Lashon Hara. So we have to start claiming that there are different standards for different kinds of negative speech about people. Some kinds of speech, right, some kinds of parents are not. And the simple one he makes is that it matters whether it's true or false. Alright, so he says it's right. So he says that the outcome is that to lie about something to their face is even bigger than that. But to tell the truth about somebody to their face is not chutzpah, because maybe you're just trying to get them to be better. And so chutzpah is a mitzvah. That's going to introduce a whole new sound, but so fundamentally, right, the Chazanis seems to believe that saying Lashon Hara to somebody's face in the sense of accusing them of wrongdoing is always a mitzvah. If you want Lashon Hara, right? You should always tell people they're doing something wrong. Otherwise, how will they know? Now, if you ask, why are you telling them publicly as opposed to privately? Right, so now we might have standards and say that it's wrong, although not necessarily wrong in terms of Lashon Hara. It's wrong to say true things to people publicly if you haven't said them privately because of that burden. Because of the vice that they're abruptly. But there may be tangential issues that you should avoid embarrassing people whenever necessary. You should avoid hectoring people whenever necessary. But that has nothing to do with Lashon Hara. Right? Lashon Hara is about harming people's reputation with no positive purpose. Right? So if you tell somebody else is somebody who's doing wrong, and what you're trying to do is wreck their reputation, that's bad. So you can tell them that they're doing wrong, you're trying to improve them, that's good. So you introduce it to us with a very low standard. But the presumption is that anything you tell somebody to their face has a lesser purpose. Right? That's a very low standard. Okay, let's break now, and we'll figure out what exactly we can do later. All right, thank you.